Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Renee Merle joins us now on WGN, business writer for the Washington Post. Renee, it's John Williams. You're on WGN Radio in Chicago. Welcome back. How are you?
I'm doing great. Thank you for having me.
What's the latest? Where are we now, Renee?
We're starting week three of this trial. It's expected to be a six-week trial, and we're still hearing from people who invested with Shirelli, gave him hundreds of thousands of dollars, and say that at some point the money disappeared, and he was, this is part of the prosecution making their case for Shirelli having basically lied to investors in two of his hedge funds and in a pharmaceutical company called Retrofin.
But the defense, and by the way, you're not pronouncing the case, so I won't either. It's Shirelli, huh?
Shirelli, yes. But everybody pronounces it differently, but yeah.
You and I will go that way, and I will use that thereafter. So, but the point is that the defense, if I'm not mistaken, is that since the investors didn't lose money, even if the scheme is corrupt, maybe no crime was committed, or at least maybe he gets off, huh?
That's certainly the way that they seem to be going. The defense hasn't started their side of the case yet. But every time that the prosecution puts up a witness, the witness goes on and says that Shirelli lied to me about this, that, you know, X, Y, and Z. And at the end, Shirelli's attorneys get up and say, but you actually made money. And in some cases, these investors made millions of dollars. And so they're hoping that at least one member of this Brooklyn jury is going to say, these guys really aren't victims. These are high rollers who knew the risks of investing in a hedge fund and ended up making out good in the end. So why should this guy go to jail?
Was this a Ponzi scheme he had set up?
Well, the prosecution calls it like a Ponzi-like scheme, not exactly direct like what Bernie Madoff did, but something very similar. He started one hedge fund and incurred some significant, massive losses. And instead of telling his investors what happened, he started the next hedge fund, raised even more money. And then when things went bad there, he started putting the money he raised from investors into a pharmaceutical company. And when investors said, hey, we want our money back, he didn't have it to give them. So they, according to the prosecution at least, what he did instead was give them said money from Retrofin, the pharmaceutical company, and shares in that company. And that's how he made his investors whole. So it's not exactly a Ponzi scheme, but it's very, very similar.
Hmm. Did anybody lose money? Has the state put somebody on who said I'm broke, as happened many, many times in the Bernie Madoff case?
No, they put on one gentleman, a Texas investor, who invested in one of Shirelli's early hedge funds before the hedge fund. He started about three hedge funds. And one of his early hedge funds, they did put on somebody who lost money. This gentleman actually lost about $5 million. But he didn't seem that upset with Shirelli. He said that, you know, it wasn't a great experience, but this was like a multimillionaire. He knew the risks. And he lost money. He was, trying to bet that Shirelli could make money. He didn't. He moved on. But the majority of people that they've put on actually made money and made significant amount of money.
Hmm. I wonder if the jury, maybe that's beside the point, right? That is, if you're committing a crime, maybe you're doing it well enough that you're coming out ahead and everybody else is too, but it's still a crime. That is a distinction worth noting. I wonder if the state will be able to make that case or if the jury will appreciate it.
Well, that's definitely what they're hoping. What they keep trying to elicit from their witnesses is that Shirelli lied. And you're not allowed to do that. If I'm an investor with you, I expect you to be transparent about what you're going to do with the money. You can't lie to me about your experience. You can't lie to me about where my money is. And so that's just one of the basics of securities law. So they're going to try to take the jury back to those basic facts. If Shirelli lied, then he's guilty. And the defense obviously is going to say, oh, he might not have gotten all the details correct, but he made the money, and that was the point.
Yeah, but it's not. I mean, because if I lied to you and you lost money, you would say, hey, wait a minute, a crime was committed. And the crime isn't losing money. It's lying about the scheme. So whatever happens thereafter is beside the point.
Yes. But again, all the defense need is one person who says, why should I feel sorry for these multimillionaires who Shirelli made a whole lot of money for?
Yeah, right.
And I don't think, at least the defense so far from what I observed, the defense isn't necessarily arguing legal facts per se. They're more trying to appeal to your sense of fairness. Again, we still have 3 more weeks to go. Maybe they'll go more into details later. But so far, really what they've focused on is you're really rich and he made you richer. What are you complaining about?
Well, Renee, the story in your paper says, is this your story? They could put him behind bars for 20 years on 8 counts. Is that your story?
Yes, yes.
Well, why invest this much time, money, and energy on this guy? Is it because of what he did with that drug, or is it something else?
They would say that this has nothing to do with him raising the price of that drug. That's not illegal. Lots of companies do similar things. Not all of them are as colorful as Martin Shkreli. That's really what made him a big name, just that he, you know, most company executives, they might make a business decision to raise the price of a drug, and then you won't hear from them again. Shkreli is somebody who's very active on social media, got kicked off Twitter, just can't seem to help himself from smirking even when he's before Congress. So he's just a different personality. But, you know, both sides have acknowledged that there were talks of not a settlement, but that he would plead guilty to some charges. And it's unclear to me whether he would have done serious time under those plea agreements. But he decided to go to court anyway. And he has this attorney, Benjamin Brofman, who is just so well known in the New York Criminal Defense League. He's somebody who used to defend mobsters. He's defended P. Diddy. I mean, he's like a really, I call him a bulldog because he's just so relentless. And so he's decided to, you know, go for it with a jury.
By the way, Frank on line one has, I think, a very good point. You and I have been discussing that there does not seem to be a victim in this crime, but Frank has one in mind. Hey, Frank, you're on the air. Hi.
Well, hi, John. I'm glad you asked the question, and it was partially answered as to who the victims were, who lost money. Well, very few, if any, of the investors in previous hedge funds lost money, but this guy was desperate. He needed a way to 100%
Oh, he cut off. Here's what he told Elif. You know who lost money? The people who saw the price of those drugs go up. I mean, that money had to come from somewhere. So let's not pretend that this was just clever money management. There were victims, and it was the people who either didn't get the drug or had to, you know, sell their house to afford it.
But again, that's not a crime. Price gouging is, but that's not what he's being charged with in this case. He's being charged with securities fraud for lying to his investors. He's not being charged with raising the price of this drug that is used for AIDS victims, children with immune deficiencies. It's an obscure, but, you know, a drug that's been around for 60 years and is, you know, something that a lot of people rely on. But again, he raised the price 5,000%. That's not a crime. I'm not sure. Well, I guess it's a debate for other people to have whether those people who had to pay more are a victim or not.
Yeah, right.
Shkreli would just say it's capitalism. If they're a victim of anything, he would say they're a victim of capitalism.
Well, you know what it does, and you're right. And the capitalist solution then, and I'm not, and I don't think a lot of us are advocates of this model. The capitalist solution then is not government intervention or put the guy in jail. It is somebody else come along with a better mousetrap at a better price. And other companies have emerged that do that very thing. So, you know, maybe they'll get the last laugh. But can you tell me, just as I let you go here, Renee, his company is publicly traded, is it not? And what's happened to the price of his stock since all of this went down?
Wow, that is a really interesting thing. Shirelli is still a millionaire. He has stock in a company called Retrofin that he started that's still worth $30 to $50 million. So, you know, if he can get off, if he can find that one juror who doesn't think his investors are real victims, he could walk away with this and still be a millionaire.
Well, do you think he's going to be found guilty on these counts? How are people handicapping this?
I think it's too early to tell. I think we have to wait until the defense starts its side of the case, which might be in the next week or so. Then we'll kind of see if Shirelli's going to testify. That could be a pivotal moment. You know, a lot of people think that his mother might testify. If you can portray this guy as not some weirdo farmer bro, but just a regular guy from Brooklyn who worked his way up, is super smart, hardworking, did the best that he could, you know, that could change things. So we'll see. I think I'm waiting for the defense because I think that's going to be the turning point.
Well, then I'll call you again. Renee Merle, business reporter for the Washington Post. Renee, thank you so much for your time this afternoon.
Thank you.
She writes for the Washington Post. If you don't already, today would be a good day to subscribe to a newspaper. It's 1:53 on WGN.